The Lookout. The Siemens Church Institute. Spring 2022. Volume 114, Number 1. SiemensChurch.org. Cover photo 8. Welcome to the River. The Reverend David Shirk comes aboard as SCI's new chaplain. 4. Supporting Ukrainian seafarers in troubled times. 12. Asynchronous classroom. Discussing the advantages of maritime e-learning. 14. At the helm, Q&A with Clark Todd of Blessy Marine. The Siemens Church Institute, The Lookout. The Lookout is a publication of the Siemens Church Institute. Spring 2022, Volume 114, Number 1, SiemensChurch.org, 212-349-9090. In this issue, Article 1, Supporting Ukrainian Seafarers in Troubled Times. Article 2, SCI and the Birth of Telemedicine. Article 3, Welcome to the River. Onboarding SCI's new chaplain, the Reverend David Shirk. Article 4, Integrated Simulator Training, bringing pilots and inland tug and barge masters together. Article 5, Asynchronous Classroom, discussing the advantages of maritime e-learning with Jonathan Burson. Article 6, At the Helm, Clark Todd, Blessy Marine Services. Editorial, Bruce G. Paulson, Esquire, Chair, Board of Trustees, the Reverend Mark S. Nestle-Hutt, President and Executive Director, Evan Brown, Director of Communications, Editor and Designer, Naomi Walker, Ph.D., Manager, Special Projects and Board Liaison, Managing Editor. From the President's Desk. As this edition of The Lookout arrives in your physical mailbox or electronic mailbox, the country of Ukraine is fending off an invasion by Russia that has left thousands dead, tens of thousands wounded, and millions of Ukrainians displaced and living as refugees. More specific to the Siemens Church Institute's mission, the disruption to the mariner community we serve has also been palpable. The invasion caused more than 100 vessels and 1,000 seafarers in the Sea of Azov and the Black Sea to be stranded, many in the port city of Mariupol, for weeks. These seafarers have endured the stress and dread over friends and family back home, and the utter disruption of the life and privileges they once knew. At the same time, the Omicron BA2 variant has meant that COVID-19 remains a serious concern for international seafarers and U.S. domestic mariners, as it has intensified labor challenges, which in turn negatively impact safety, shore leave opportunities, mental health, and suicide rates. Current events are exacerbating the long-term challenge to overall mariner wellness, and this has become a growing area of mission for SCI. And yet, SCI is no stranger to difficult times and conflict. In this issue of The Lookout, you will discover how SCI was a pioneer in addressing mariner physical and mental health, dating to the 1920s. We also report on the state of Ukrainian seafarers impacted by the war today. Of course, SCI continues its crucial mission, supporting all mariners, including new training models at our Center for Maritime Education, as well as through an expanding scope of relearning modules, while our chaplains in the ports and on the rivers work to address the immediate need of mariners on a daily basis. We've recently welcomed a few new faces to SCI, some of whom are profiled here. Finally, in our At the Helm feature story, we hear from Clark Todd, President and CEO of Blessy Marine. As always, The Lookout serves as a snapshot of our mission in action, promoting the safety, dignity, and an improved working environment for all mariners. In a 24/7 commitment, and one that we have maintained for nearly 200 years, that the Siemens Church Institute can respond effectively to critical needs, even in times of great crisis, is because of you. Thank you for your support, and for making SCI and the world's mariners a priority in your own life. The world depends on mariners. Mariners depend on SCI, and SCI depends on you. Most faithfully, Mark, the Reverend Mark S. Nestle-Hutt. President and Executive Director. The Seamus Church Institute is grateful to the following sponsors for their support. Together, these corporate sponsors provide the resources necessary to strengthen our pastoral ministry, advocacy, and education programs, and help us fulfill our mission to seafarers and mariners. Sustaining partners, American Commercial Barge Line, Ingram. Supporting sponsors, ABS, Kirby, McAllister, since 1864, Moran, Trinity Church, Wall Street. In-kind sponsor, Seward & Kissel, LLP. Article 1, Supporting Ukrainian Seafarers in Troubled Times. Philip C. Schlifflin, Jr., Esquire, Director, Center for Mariner Advocacy. The recent Russian invasion of Ukraine reminded the world about the true brutality of war, upended the lives of Ukrainian people, and changed the geopolitical dynamics of Europe, and potentially the world, in ways still to be determined. While we all wait to see how this terrible conflict plays out, and Ukraine struggles to survive as a country, another less visible conflict is occurring on vessels around the globe. Ukrainian seafarers currently on ships are faced with a difficult decision of how to respond to this crisis. Do they seek to return to Ukraine at the earliest opportunity to pick up arms in defense of their country? Do they try to depart as soon as possible to meet up with their families who have fled Ukraine as wartime refugees? Do they remain working on their ship, maybe even extending their current contract to wait and see what happens? Do they seek asylum or refugee status in another country in order to avoid potential persecution if they return home? While contemplating these choices, Ukrainian seafarers also face significant challenges as they work aboard their ships. Due to the conflict, our government agencies, particularly Customs and Border Protection and Immigration and Naturalization Services, view Ukrainian seafarers as being at a heightened risk of absconding or deserting their vessels while in U.S. ports. To mitigate the perceived risk, officials frequently deny them shore leave. Additionally, the banking system in Ukraine has been disrupted by the war, making it challenging for ship operators to pay their Ukrainian crew members. Even when the seafarers are paid, it is often very difficult to get funds back to their families. Finally, communication with certain parts of Ukraine is challenging, making it hard for Ukrainian crews to check in on their families. The combination of these difficulties creates additional mental stress and hardship for Ukrainian seafarers already bearing the worries of a war-torn homeland. SCI's Center for Mariner Advocacy, CMA, has been broadly engaged in supporting Ukrainian seafarers since the invasion started. One aspect is our collaboration with other seafarer welfare organizations through the North American Maritime Ministry Association, NAMA, and the International Christian Maritime Association, ICMA. Similarly, SCI has been working with industry organizations like the International Chamber of Shipping, ICS, and the International Transport Workers Federation, ITF, to assist Ukrainian seafarers. This partnership approach has resulted in a host of initiatives coming to fruition in short order. For example, creating a new emergency relief fund to provide financial support to Ukrainian seafarers, distributing free SIM cards to facilitate their communications with family back home, establishing new ways to pay Ukrainian seafarers as the Ukrainian banking system faces severe challenges, assisting with repatriation for those Ukrainian seafarers who seek to return home or to a nearby country. As each challenge arises, our collaboration of seafarer welfare groups comes together, and we seek out solutions. On a more definitive level, SCI's Center for Mariner Advocacy, CMA, has been actively participating in International Maritime Organization, IMO, and International Labor Organization, ILO, meetings that directly address the maritime challenges of the Ukrainian crisis, helping to ensure seafarer issues are brought forward and considered. For our part, CMA has been providing advice to Ukrainian seafarers and port chaplains regarding the U.S. asylum and refugee processes. We have also established contact with a network of immigration attorneys who are willing to provide pro bono legal assistance to Ukrainian seafarers when required. Additionally, CMA has provided guidance on how best to support shore leave requests with local U.S. government officials. In these trying times, CMA stands ready to assist and advocate for Ukrainian seafarers in need and to collaborate with other organizations also seeking to help them. Learn more about SCI's Center for Mariner Advocacy by visiting SeamansChurch.org/CMA. SCI's History of Support in Wartime by Stephen Dreisbeck Williams, Archivist. At the outbreak of the First World War, SCI's centralized services at 25 South Street hosted seafarers from all sides of the conflict, including a significant number of German and British seafarers who lived alongside inland mariners from canals, rivers, and, in winter, the Great Lakes. Many British seafarers left the sea to serve in the Army. British apprentice boys, too young to carry a gun, worked on ships that delivered horses to Brest to feed the troops, while their older brothers fought in the trenches. German seafarers, meanwhile, struggled to find work as German ships were held in port. Seafarer unemployment climbed as demand for passenger service plummeted and anti-German sentiment rose. SCI worked hard to serve and engage with seafarers of both sides, with special German entertainments some nights, while many other events kept with God Save the Queen or an American anthem. In the accompanying photo, we see the auditorium in the 1910s full of mariners and seafarers from around the world, with women and children, likely including canal boat families, in the balcony. At the port, SCI chaplains engage with Ukrainian seafarers. Cora Di Domenico, Master of Divinity, Chaplain. As the war in Ukraine continues, the stress and toll on Ukrainian seafarers is apparent. Here are a few notes on recent conversations I've had at Port Newark. On the morning of February 24, 2022, I received a message from a third officer of a bulk orange juice vessel that was recently in port. He had arrived home to Ukraine one day prior and reported bombing in a city beginning around 5 a.m. local time. He said he was preparing travel for his wife and 5-month-old baby. He would stay to fight. Later that morning, I met with a captain and chief officer on board a car carrier. On top of their duties, both had been working tirelessly with their companies to arrange van travel for their families to get them to safety in neighboring countries. The captain's family was headed to Bulgaria and the chief's family to Moldova. In March, the third engineer on a small container ship was distraught over the death of his brother in occupied Kherson. Shortly after his brother died in the war, his wife was beaten by opposing forces in front of their two children. He contemplated leaving the vessel, but feared he would be unable to get back into his city and find his family. In early April, I met a chief engineer from Mariupol who shared that he had not communicated with his family since the first week of March. Tears welled in his eyes. Prior to this conflict, I had never counseled someone in a war. Every day I'm met with a new story of immense suffering and uncertainty, and yet I'm also met with an incredible resilience. Upon leaving these conversations, I'm almost always told, we have to win. There is no other choice. There are no winners in war, but I would be lying if I said I wasn't compelled by the strength of Ukrainian seafarers on a daily basis. The accompanying photo shows SCI Chaplain Cora Di Domenico, who visits with a Ukrainian seafarer in Port Newark. Article 2, SCI and the Birth of Telemedicine by Stephen Dreisbeck Williams and John Thayer. The Seamus Church Institute has long been an early adopter of innovation, constantly adjusting to seafarers' changing needs. One notable example that SCI developed on its own proved so important that it was quickly adopted by the federal government and copied by others around the world. This is the story of how SCI created the world's first telemedicine service. SPI spent its first 79 years bringing religious services closer to the mariners through floating churches and reading rooms along the waterfront of Lower Manhattan. These served as outposts for temperance campaigns and efforts to combat coercive hiring practices. By the end of the 19th century, SCI had added education to its services. The notion that civilians should receive formal basic medical training had been accepted broadly in the 1870s, and SCI aggressively sought to teach first aid to sailors beginning in 1910. The goal was to ensure that all officers had enough training to provide on-the-spot care and assist a ship's doctor. SCI ultimately succeeded in its efforts to ensure that all ships had a medical chest available. Getting doctors aboard cargo ships was a harder sell. In 1921, more than 75% of ships at sea had no doctor on board, but more than 80% did have radios. In 1913, SCI centralized its operations in a 13-story Mariner Services headquarters at 25 South Street on Coente Slip, where canal boats and steamers from inland waterways moored beside ocean-going freighters just a few blocks from Staten Island Ferry. The South Street location offered mariners cheap rooms and a cafeteria, employment services, tailor and barber shops, a chapel, a soda fountain, and more. During World War I, the education program housed in the top floors at 25 South Street expanded significantly with the increased need for seafarers as they were called into the war effort. SCI's Navigation School added such topics as knot tying, navigation, lifeboat handling, and semaphore to the first aid training already provided. Captain Robert Huntington, principal of SCI's Navigation, Marine Engineering, and Radio School, is credited with the idea of connecting ships at sea with doctors on land via radio. Radio telegraphy was an attractive addition to SCI's education offerings, but required substantial financing to acquire the necessary equipment and power the signal. A gift of $5,000 from steel magnate Henry A. Laughlin fitted out a small room in 25 South Street's tower with all that was required to produce a radio telegraphic signal and receive transmissions. In 1930, SCI launched what arguably remains to this day its most innovative and influential program, a radio service that connected doctors on land to ships at sea. The service was so successful that it was soon adopted by the federal government in cooperation with the Radio Corporation of America, and similar operations sprang up around the world. Maritime Telemedical Assistance Services, TMAS, throughout Europe and North America traced their roots to this project. Radio telegraphy, which transmits beep tones rather than articulated sounds of speech, was first demonstrated in 1901. During the following two decades, radio exploded in application. The Wireless Ship Act of 1910 required all ships carrying more than 50 passengers, more than 200 miles off the coast, to carry radio equipment with a range of 100 miles. The Radio Act of 1912 required all seafaring vessels to maintain a 24-hour radio watch. Under these circumstances, SCI's radio medical services seem both innovative and inevitable. Henry A. Laughlin's check for SCI's radio equipment, viewable on a lantern slide in SCI's archives, has a date of December 1920, but SCI applied for a radio license when the U.S. government initially made them available. The first radio station license in America was issued on October 7, 1920. 1 week later, SCI received license number 176. The service was assigned the call letters KDKF, and this call sign was given priority over every other call sign except SOS. If a ship couldn't reach KDKF directly, it could reach out to a ship located close to New York in case that ship had a doctor on board. If it didn't, it could pass the message on to additional ships as necessary until a chain of radio operators had connected the ship in need of a medical attention to either a doctor on board another ship or the doctor on call through KDKF. SCI provided the service free to ships regardless of nationality. Initially, KDKF's license only allowed it to operate it from 9 to 5, which is when SCI's doctor was on duty in the clinic. In short order, the Hudson Street Hospital, located about 1.3 miles north of 25 South Street, offered to have a doctor available to SCI by phone at any hour, and SCI's license was expanded to 24 hours of operation in April 1921, with service beginning in May. By 1922, KDKF radio operators were contacting doctors at the Public Health Service Hospital, number 70, on the other side of the harbor at Staten Island for responses to medical and surgical requests. KDKF's success relied not only on connecting doctors with ship's crews, but also requiring those crews to have training to properly implement that advice. SCI required the young officers enrolled at its navigation and marine engineering school to learn how to care for the sick and wounded before receiving their certificate. SCI augmented the radio service with its manual on ship sanitation and first aid for merchant seamen, first published in 1922, to provide much needed medical services for merchant ships. Devoted to care of the ship itself, SCI's manual served to meet one of the greatest humanitarian needs on board our merchant vessels, with a quick reference for medical and surgical conditions risked at sea, as well as directions for disease treatment. KDKF contributed to SCI's education work in other ways, as the radio equipment gave sailors the opportunity to learn radio operation. However, SCI's involvement with radio medicine was short-lived. By 1922, the Radio Corporation of America had offered to take over and expand the service, coordinating its operation with the U.S. government. The signal moved from 25 South Street to a tower at Bush Terminal in Brooklyn, and by March 1922, KDKF was offline. By 1923, as reports reached 25 South Street of new radio telemedical services in Norway and Sweden, SCI declared its intention to preserve the KDKF radio equipment, which was no longer in use. 25 South Street was demolished in 1967, and it is unknown what became of that equipment, but radio medicine remains a vital service to ships at sea. Today's Maritime Telemedical Assistance Service organizations continue the work started with KDKF. In late 2020, the Centro Internazionale Medico, International Center of Medical Radio Communications, hosted a virtual roundtable commemorating 100 years of radio telemedical assistance at sea, with presentations on the modern applications that trace their roots to KDKF. These applications use all the current groundbreaking technologies with digital databases accessible via satellite to reduce the isolation that can be a risk to seafarers. In the intervening century, SCI has built on its success in improving medical conditions at sea by addressing mental health concerns unique to mariners. SCI has led the effort to understand the effects of piracy on seafarers, publishing guidelines on post-piracy care for seafarers. The Institute regularly conducted shore leave studies in order to survey seafarers' access to resources and services off-ship in U.S. ports, and has most recently met the challenges posed by COVID-19-related restrictions to mobility in port. Maritime ministry organizations on an international level have run information needs assessment studies to gauge seafarers' priorities in combating the effects of isolation at sea through communication technologies. The isolation that defines seafaring life became a part of everyday life ashore during the pandemic, and many of us now have firsthand experience with telemedicine. SCI's early health and wellness initiatives, marked by the innovative extension of services to the high seas through emerging radio technologies more than a century ago, continue to the present day. Photo captions in this article read from the archives, SCI, Doctors on Call, and using the radio station KDKF in the 1920s. SCI and the Birth of Telemedicine, Bibliography, Bennion, Francis Marion, The Original Radio Outfit Which Sent Medical Advice to Ships, The Lookout, February 1923, Bennion, Francis Marion, International Medical Service, The Lookout, June 1923, Bennion, Francis Marion, Hospital Cooperation, The Lookout, July 1923, 100 Years of Radio Telemedical Assistance at Sea, Centro Internacional Medico, November 18, 2020. Fink, Leon. Sweatshops at Sea. Merchant Seamen in the World's First Globalized Economy, Chapel Hill, The University of North Carolina Press, 2011. Hart, Robert W., Manual on Ship Sanitation and First Aid for Merchant Seamen, Seamen's Church Institute of New York, 1922. Jackson, Justin, The Right Kind of Men, Flexible Capacity, Chinese Exclusion, and the Imperial Origins of Maritime Labor Reform in the United States, 1898 to 1905. Labor, 10, number 4, 2013, 39 to 60. Cadet Ann. COVID turns chaplains into personal shoppers for cargo ship workers. Wall Street Journal, March 9, 2021. Mahdi, Saeed, Sarosh, and Armenta, Francesco. 80 Years of CIRM, A Journey of Commitment and Dedication in Providing Maritime Medical Assistance. International Maritime Health, 67, number 4, 2016, 187 to 195. Public health doctors use radio to cure ills at sea. The New York Times, April 8, 1928. Sagaro, Getu Gamu, and Armenta Francesco, Past, Present, and Future, Perspectives of Telemedical Assistance at Sea, A Systematic Review, International Maritime Health, 71, number 2, 2020, 97 to 104. Schuler, Mike, Post-Piracy Care for Seafarers, New Study. G. Captain, February 10, 2010. 25 South Street, More Than Beds, Seamen's Church Institute, 2012. SCI's Health and Wellness Clinic, Seamen's Church Institute, 2013. Stoner, George W., Handbook for the Ship's Medicine Chest, Washington, GPO, 1904. Thayer, Jonathan, Merchant Seamen, Sailor Towns, and the Shaping of U.S. Citizenship, 1843 to 1945, Doctoral Dissertation, The Graduate Center, City University of New York, 2018. Thomas, Lillian Bennion, KDKF, The Lookout, January 1922. Thomas, Lillian Bennion, Consultations by Wireless, The Lookout, February 1922. Thomas, Lillian Bennion, Our Last Call, The Lookout, March 1922. Article 3, Welcome to the River, Onboarding SCI's New Chaplain, the Reverend David Shirk. In a simple ceremony on February 28, 2022, at SCI's Center for Maritime Education in Paducah, Kentucky, the Reverend Kempton Baldridge passed the torch of chaplaincy to the Reverend David Shirk as SCI's new chaplain serving the Upper Mississippi and the Ohio River Valley. Chaplain Baldridge, now retired, offered Captain Shirk three gifts, mementos, to serve as reminders of the challenging job ahead, guiding and supporting mariners. First was a floating two-way weather radio to symbolize the importance of communication and to be always aware of the storms ahead in life. The second was a road atlas to assist in finding his way. And third, a shofar, a ram's horn used in Jewish religious ceremonies that, when sounded, awakens the soul to its spiritual calling. With Chaplain Tom Rhodes presiding over the ceremony and cooking, he made gumbo. A small group, including David's wife Bonnie, came together in Paducah, as well as via Zoom, to mark this significant occasion. Chaplain Shirk, however, had already hit the ground running. On his first day, a week before his onboarding ceremony, he went out with Chaplain Baldridge to provide grief counseling on board a vessel that had lost a mariner the day before. Stationed and now residing in Paducah with his family, Chaplain Shirk has already covered many miles since his arrival, traveling with Chaplain Rhodes to various locations from Louisville to Houston, Texas, stopping in to visit company leaders, River Mariners, and SCI Chaplain Associates. David has an easygoing nature, notes Chaplain Rhodes. He has common sense, emotional intelligence, and is a comfort to others. His welcoming spirit will do him well out on the river. Remarks from Chaplain David Shirk. It is truly an honor to have been selected to serve as a chaplain for the Seamen's Church Institute, SCI. From the first time I saw the job description and a list of qualifications on the Navy Chaplain's Facebook page, I knew it was a perfect fit. As a retired Navy chaplain, especially having served with the Coast Guard, all the knowledge, skills, and aptitudes of critical incident stress management, suicide intervention, and crisis response transferred perfectly, and the thought of serving mariners again was especially meaningful for me. I'm so proud to be a part of the mission of training and serving our mariners, whether in Newark Harbor or all along our nation's rivers. Growing up in the Midwest, it was not unusual to see boats pushing barges along the rivers, but I never realized the skill, support, and logistics it took to make the mission happen. I look forward to building on the amazing work and legacy of my predecessor, Chaplain Kempton Baldridge, and working with our senior chaplain, Tom Rhodes. I am also excited about developing relationships with our amazing chaplain associates and the River Mariners who fulfill the impressive and demanding occupation every day. As they serve this great nation's thriving economy, I know serving them will bring the highest of rewards. I am humbled to be part of SCI and such a noble calling. Biographical notes. The Reverend David Shirk joins the Seamen's Church Institute as Ministry on the River, MOR Chaplain, for the Upper Mississippi and Ohio River region. Chaplain Shirk enlisted in the U.S. Navy and served as a cryptologist. Using the GI Bill, he earned his BA degree and later an MDIV degree, and joined the U.S. Navy's Chaplain Corps, serving for 28 years with the U.S. Navy, U.S. Marine Corps, and U.S. Coast Guard. David completed his military service as Supervisory Chaplain, Senior Chaplain, for U.S. Coast Guard District 1 in Boston and retired at the rank of Commander. David has extensive training and experience in crisis intervention, family and marriage counseling, PTSD, substance abuse response, professional teaching, curriculum development, public speaking, and executive advisement. Evan Brown joins SCI HQ as Communications Director. The Seamen's Church Institute welcomed Evan Brown to the team in March 2022. Previously, he was the Communications Director for 6 years at Congregation Emmanuel L. of the City of New York, leading strategic initiatives and revitalizing tactical channels for the historic temple. Before Temple Emmanuel, Evan led marketing and communications efforts for 11 years within various NYC independent schools. While new to the maritime industry, Evan does boast a familial connection through his grandfather, who was a tanker captaining the Texaco Brave in the 1960s and 1970s on the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Seaway. He can recall visiting his grandfather during the summer months when the ship was docked in the Cherry Street slips of Toronto Harbor. Evan currently lives in Queens with his wife and two sons, ages 11 and 13. We are glad to have him on the SCI team. Article 4, Integrated Simulator Training, Bringing Pilots and Inland Tug and Barge Masters Together. Captain Stephen Polk, Director, Center for Maritime Education. Last April, the Seamen's Church Institute's Center for Maritime Education in Houston with assistance from Captain Jay Rivera of Ribon Marine, took advantage of a unique opportunity to merge classes, Advanced Pilot House Management APM course for Martin Marine and Bridge Resource Management for Pilots BRMP class. It is common for ship's crews, pilots, and harbor tug masters to train together, but extremely rare for ship pilots to conduct coordinated training with inland tug and barge mariners because of logistical and scheduling difficulties. This is why we jumped at the chance to offer integrated simulator training, because it offers a complexity of challenges to mariners that is consistent and realistic to actual scenarios. But assets are never put at risk. Perhaps best of all, pilots and tug masters can step out of the simulators and into the classroom to discuss what they've learned and gain better understanding of the issues the other vessel faces. Bringing together Associated Federal Pilots of Louisiana and mariners from Martin Marine, April's integrated training utilized CMA Houston's 4 tug bridges and ship bridge simulators to run through risk management, rules of the road, use of resources, situational awareness, and emergencies. Reception to this unique integrated learning was positive. SCI instructors were able to merge the 2 class schedules and provide time for participants to share perspectives and challenges they face on the job, getting the opportunity to participate in integrated simulations with inland vessels was a first for me. Captain Chris Brown, pilot, Associated Federal Pilots of Louisiana. I learned a lot from the simulations. It was interesting to see what the ships must deal with in emergency situations. It was also great to be able to debrief in the same room and communicate with each other. Captain Brad Rogers, Martin Marine. Bringing together mariners who operate in the same waterways and interact regularly is a win-win, says CME Director Captain Stephen Polk. He notes, often the ship pilots do not know what it is like to operate a towboat with a heavy tow, and often towboat and barge captains do not know what ship operations, engines, fuel issues, and the challenges they face, bank effect, squat, vessel-to-vessel interaction. Taking classes together allows both groups to ask questions of each other that they don't get the chance to ask when underway. For CME, this isn't a one-and-done scenario, according to Director Polk. In my experience, this kind of training hasn't been done before, but it's clear that integrated simulator work adds value and benefit for mariners and their companies, and we are now evaluating future opportunities to merge classes as much as possible from now on, provided that course objectives align. He continued, SCI and the CME team is honored to do this work, and we look forward to future events where it will be positive to maximize learning while mariners are at our facilities. Learn more about SCI's Center for Maritime Education at seamanschurch.org/CME. 5 photos accompanying this article are captioned Associated Federal Pilots of Louisiana and mariners from Martin Marine had a unique opportunity to train together on the simulators at Houston Center for Maritime Education. Article 5, Asynchronous Classroom, discussing the advantages of maritime e-learning with Jonathan Burson, Evan Brown, Director, Communications. With giant screens, CGI animation, and sleek pilot house classrooms, the cameras always point toward the simulators when featuring SCI Center for Maritime Education. Of course, the tech on site in Paducah and Houston is state-of-the-art and immersive, serving a critical need within the inland maritime community. But it is important to remember that the CME stands on 2 legs. Although it may be a little less flashy, our e-learning component is also cutting edge and every bit as integral to the mariners, clients, and industry we serve. For SCI, e-learning isn't new. According to e-learning business relations manager Jonathan Burson, SCI started with online digital learning modules around 10 years ago. But as Coast Guard Subchapter M compliance regulations came to the fore in 2017, the advantages of e-learning became even more apparent. Whereas simulators are for wheelhouse skills development, e-learning is about compliance, Burson noted. With regulatory training requirements and the growing need for company-specific training, the need to consolidate an online library of learning modules, build capability to quickly create that training, and deliver it to mariners and clients was increasingly essential for the industry. With e-learning having the advantage of being asynchronous, the required instruction for mariners could be engaged easily, anytime, anywhere, and on any device. Beyond convenience and ease of use, e-learning also improves efficiency and accountability. Burson recalled a time before SCI at Kirby where an audit of synchronous compliance training, where instructors meet mariners at an appointed place and time, revealed that despite best efforts, as many as 35% were not receiving the necessary instruction. On the other hand, he said, e-learning quickly pushed us over 90% completion rates. We also had a record of who had completed the required training and who hadn't, allowing us to focus our efforts to achieve 100% completion. Moreover, SCI's Learning Management System, LMS, has been developed to offer remediation, provide testing, and guide mariners back to content to reinforce essential learning when necessary. Burson, in collaboration with CME Director Captain Stephen Polk and his team, create e-learning experiences with guidance from industry professionals, always designing content with the client's goals in mind. And while there are learning modules that are standard or off the shelf, Burson often finds they are creating coursework quickly to meet specific needs. Recently, ArtCo asked us for 5 off-the-shelf courses with modifications, plus updates to 4 partially developed courses they had on file. For the graphics, PowerPoint, and copy they provided, we added question mitigation, updated script, narration, remediation, and some graphic animation, and were able to turn around their request in 2.5 weeks, Burson said. While we can start from scratch, we're often called by companies to jump into the development process at any point. To this, he credits the expertise of the CME, e-learning team, being able to create courses, engagements, and in-house graphics to help keep costs down, but value and responsiveness high. While simulated training gets more lifelike, experiential, and immersive, e-learning, according to Burson, has clear dividends for the near future. E-learning collects input, and input means data. So as CSI expands its work with feasibility studies, using the LMS to collect input from engineers and mariners, we'll build our database, generating accurate reporting. Additionally, Burson feels that industry-wide demand for competency assurance is growing. Data collected from the breadth of our e-learning engagement will help create reliable occupational standards for maritime companies, helping them identify risk within their operation. He also notes the potential of blended learning or distance learning, where at some point SCI might provide simulation experiences to mariners remotely, furthering CME's capability to identify and mitigate operational risks. For Burson, a systems development professional with comprehensive experience within the inland marine industry, guiding CME's e-learning program has been a remarkable experience. "It's been a blur," he said. "I've never worked as hard at a job, but I've never had as much fun either." He points out that SCI's e-learning to date has served 40 client companies and over 9,500 mariners. "There's always a lot going on with learning, but we've accomplished much, and it's been so good to see how we've grown and how we are helping the industry at large." Learn more. For CSI's complete listing of customizable e-learning solutions and courses, visit siemenschurch.org/e-learning. The Siemens Church Institute. Save the date. Riverbell Awards Luncheon. Join us as we gather to celebrate excellence within inland maritime community. Honoree to be announced. Thursday, December 8, 2022, Paducah, Kentucky. Want to learn more about this and other SCI events? Contact specialevents@siemenschurch.org. The world depends on mariners. Mariners depend on CSI. SCI depends on you. Support SCI. Founded in 1834, the Siemens Church Institute promotes the safety, dignity, and improved working environment for the men and women serving the North American and international maritime communities through pastoral care, training, advocacy, and thought leadership. When you contribute to SCI, you provide the vital support that allows us to respond to mariner needs without hesitation. Your gift makes a difference. Follow SiemensChurch.org/giving to learn more. Article 6, at the helm, Clark Todd, President and CEO, Blessey Marine. Conversations with maritime industry leaders. Who were some important mentors or role models for you? When I think of role models in my professional career, I have several. Of course, my father is my ultimate role model. As a private business owner, he taught me at a very young age that working hard and showing respect is a key component to professional success. I was fortunate to watch him build a business over several decades and saw firsthand the ups and downs of being a private business owner. Having a front row seat, such as I did, was a special and informative experience. Another vital role model for me has been my father-in-law, Walter Blessey, who happens to be my boss of 20-plus years. I am incredibly grateful for his tutelage, as I learned the ropes of the maritime transportation business. From day one, he taught me that success in the organization was not based on profits, but rather built on the relationships we have with our employees, our customers, and our vendors. From him, I learned that we hire for character, and we can ultimately teach the job. It is our people who are the biggest assets to our company. Do you remember your first leadership role? How has your view of leadership evolved over time? I absolutely remember my first leadership role. I can remember being quite anxious, but I had an assuredness instilled in me from my career as a baseball player. According to my mother, I was never lacking in confidence, obviously. That has carried over into my professional career. My view of leadership has changed dramatically over the years, and along the way, I've learned a lot, what to do and what not to do, by watching others and looking to my mentors for guidance and feedback. I can honestly say that I am a much better listener today than I was 20 years ago. What is your view on the impact of organizational culture in individual and company for performance? Our culture is everything to us here at Blessey Marine. We work very hard to ensure that our employees feel like family. It takes a lot of time, energy, and resources to accomplish that, but there is no greater asset to our organization than our employees and the relationship I have with them. What advice would you give someone who is beginning a career in the maritime industry? How do you hire? What do you seek in a candidate? The best advice I can give to anyone entering the maritime industry is to start your career on the water. I was fortunate to spend 9 months working as a deckhand on our vessels. There I learned the true challenges of the job and gained an incredible appreciation for our mariners and the work that they do every day. Today, our priority is to hire for character and teach on the job. We look for potential employees who are collaborators and who want to build lasting relationships with their coworkers. It's important that each of our team members embrace the high ethical and moral standards we have at our company. What is the role of innovation in your work? Thanks to the recent improvements in technology over the last 10 years, our industry has seen incredible innovation and advancement. While I believe we still have a long way to go, I look to our team members to stay at the forefront of the latest technology. The generation of employees we are hiring today are the most technologically savvy we have had, and I will continue to look to them to help us improve processes so that we remain a leader in our industry. What inspires you? First and foremost, I'm inspired by my family. My wife and 3 children motivate me to be the best I can be. I'm also incredibly honored to work with more than 750 employees at Blessey Marine. I admire and appreciate the work ethic and the commitment they display every day. I am always conscious that the decisions I make affect more than 3,500 of our extended Blessey family members. The fact that I can help the company continue to grow in a socially connected and responsible way drives me to work as hard as I can while being fully engaged every step of the way. 2022 Maritime Training Benefit Luncheon, Houston, Texas. The Siemens Church Institute hosted Gulf and Inland Maritime Leaders for the Maritime Training Benefit Luncheon in Houston on April 28, 2022. The luncheon, returning after a two-year pause due to COVID-19 and Hurricane Ida, saw more than 450 in attendance gathering in support and recognition of SCI's Center for Maritime Education and Pastoral Mission to Mariners. This year's MTBL honored Walter E. Blessy, Jr., Chairman of Blessy Marine, with a Lifetime Achievement Award, and featured reflections by Captain Serafin Madrigal, Blessy Marine, Steve Golding, Chairman, Golding Barge Line, David Lane, VP Marketing, Canal Barge Company, Christian O'Neill, President, Kirby Marine Transportation, and Walter's son-in-law, Clark Todd, President and CEO, Blessy Marine. The event was opened by SCI President and Executive Director Mark Nesselhut, with a blessing by Senior Chaplain Thomas Rhodes, and brief remarks by Center for Maritime Education Director Captain Stephen Polk. Photographs accompanying this article show Steve Golding, Chairman, Golding Barge Line, over 450 guests in attendance for the 2022 Maritime Benefit Training Luncheon in Houston, and Walter E. Blessy, Jr., and family. Also, SCI Board of Trustees, Chair Bruce G. Paulson, Esquire, SCI President and Executive Director, the Reverend Mark Nesselhut, Lifetime Achievement Award winner, Walter E. Blessy, Jr., and Blessy Marine Services President and CEO, Clark Todd, Christian O'Neill, President, Kirby Marine Transportation, and David Lane, VP Marketing, Canal Barge Company, and Captain Serafin Madrigal, Blessing Marine. The Siemens Church Institute, 50 Broadway, 26th floor, New York, New York, 10004. SiemensChurch.org. Follow us online. The world depends on mariners. Mariners depend on SCI. SCI depends on you. Our mission. The Siemens Church Institute advocates for the personal, professional, and spiritual well-being of merchant mariners around the world. Through our Center for Marine Education, Center for Mariner Advocacy, Port Newark, International Seafarer Center, and Ministry on the River, SCI promotes safety, dignity, and improved working and living conditions for the men and women serving in the maritime workplace. Founded in 1834 and affiliated with the Episcopal Church, though non-denominational in terms of its trustees, staff, and service to mariners, the Siemens Church Institute of New York and New Jersey, SCI, is the largest, most comprehensive mariners service agency in North America. All rights reserved. My name is Don Sheets.